Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with my co-host Tim Henney. Our next guest, Dr. Stephen Gundry, has a 2017 New York Times bestseller. It's called The Plant Paradox, in which he exposed the toxic nature of lectins, one of which is gluten, and how they lead to chronic inflammation. He joins us now to share his latest book, which complements the first book. This one is The Plant Paradox Cookbook, 100 delicious recipes to help you lose weight, heal your gut, and live lectin-free. It's a guide to overhauling your pantry and creating shopping lists to make delicious, simple, seasonal, lectin-free meals. Dr. Gundry, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Thanks for having me on. It's good to be back in Park City.
Glad to hear that. So let's start with how you discovered this thing about lectins and being bad for us. And what is a very bad lectin? And what is a good lectin?
Great. Well, let's start backwards. A lectin is a plant protein. That's a defense system of the plant. And these sticky proteins are designed to bind to certain sugar molecules in us, in our gut, in our nerves, in our brain, and in our blood vessels, and in our joints. And it's the plant defense system against being eaten. And plants, believe it or not, don't like being eaten. So I discovered their effect more than 17 years ago when I had a patient with inoperable heart disease, who I call Big Ed, reverse all the blockages in his coronary arteries by eating a diet that he had designed that, when I shockingly noticed what was missing from his diet, there was a plant protein called a lectin. And I, at that time, was a professor and chairman of heart surgery at Loma Linda University. And I started investigating removing lectin-containing foods from people's diets. And lo and behold, for the last 17 years, we've been able to trace this with the blood test. And removing lectins from people's diets has resulted in amazing transformation in people's health. So that produced the plant paradox. And the cookbook actually is now a new New York Times bestseller for the last 2 weeks. So I'm happy to report.
Congratulations.
And it's a way of getting people, it's a way of getting people to actually eat lectin-free with all the comfort foods they like, particularly on a warm, snowy day in Deer Valley.
Yeah, you have pizza on the cover.
Yeah.
And we have an event in town tonight where there's free pizza. So Lynn was asking in the break between our underwriters and bringing you on air whether I thought the pizza at the event would be lectin-free. I can guarantee it won't be lectin-free, even if it's gluten-free.
That's correct. The tomato sauce is usually made by grinding the peels and the seeds and the pulp of the tomato together, although the Italians would never think of doing that. They always peel and de-seed their tomatoes before making sauce because the peel and the seeds have lectins in them.
Did they know that?
And most, yes. Well, they knew it. What I've done
on some level.
They knew that it made them hurt. We've looked at lots of cultures. Let me give you another example. There, 4 billion people use rice as their staple, and yet 4 billion people go to the trouble of taking the hull off of brown rice and eating it white. And everybody knows that brown rice is so much better for you. Well, 4 billion people aren't stupid. And the hull contains the lectins, and they've been taking that away for 8,000 years. Did they know it contained lectins? No, but they knew that eating the brown rice made them not as the white rice.
Huh. Well, now I'm wondering if, you know, you said that you started prescribing a new diet for everybody because everybody benefits. But I'm just wondering, are there people who aren't affected by lectins? Because I know some people are much more susceptible and vulnerable to gluten than others, and some seem to have cast iron stomachs. I would put myself in that category. I've never eaten brown rice and felt horrible, or maybe I have and I just didn't know it. But for some reason, that kind of thing doesn't register with me.
Yeah, Tim, the amazing thing is I have a group of patients that have sought me out through the years that I call canaries in the book. And these are people like canaries in the coal mine who would react to gases in the air that would kill coal miners. But the canaries had a faster metabolic rate and they'd be affected first. So if the canaries stopped chirping, you'd run. Well, I know I have a lot of patients who are incredibly sensitive to lectins, and they can basically spot them a mile away. But what I've found through the years in looking for the inflammatory effects of lectins is that even people who don't feel them on the surface, we can measure their effects in, for instance, your blood vessels. Next, at the American Heart Association atherosclerosis and thrombosis meeting, where for the first time I show that lectins are a significant cause of coronary artery disease, and that if I remove people's diets, that the marker of attack on the surface of coronary arteries in humans actually diminishes dramatically. So we've suspected this for years. It was what Big Ed had done in his diet that made me start researching this. And now for the first time, we've got some probably pretty doggone good suggestion that lectins are a major issue in coronary artery disease.
That doesn't leave me feeling very good about my cast iron stomach, I have to admit. You're sort of shifting my idea.
No, and I thought I had a pretty good one, too.
Yeah,
I know.
So I have to go back to Big Ed for just a second. How did he surmise that lectins were not good for him, and he directed his and designed his whole diet around avoiding lectins?
So what Big Ed did, he basically ate what would actually be a true paleo diet. A paleo diet, quite frankly, has nothing to do with the current rage in paleo diets. He went back to a diet that we ate 10,000 years ago before the advent of grains and beans. And he eliminated foods that came from North or South America, because one of the things that's fascinating is that all of us are not from America, we're from Europe, Asia, or Africa. And that means that none of our ancestors were ever exposed to a lectin containing South America until 500 years ago when Columbus started trade. And we're not equipped to deal with those modern lectins. For instance, peanuts and cashews are American beans. They're not nuts at all, and they're full of lectins. Chia seeds are full of lectins. Goji berries are full of lectins. The nightshades, potatoes, eggplant, tomatoes, and peppers are American plants full of lectins. Corn is an American plant. Quinoa is an American plant full of lectins. And the squash family, all those delicious zucchini that are starting to grow, are full of lectins.
Wow. So there is a remedy for this, and you introduce this in your book. And one of them is, as we've talked about before, removing the seeds of the tomato, removing the seeds. The other, which is so fascinating because my husband is a big pressure cooker user. Everything gets pressure cooked. And you say this is a way to destroy the lectins.
So a pressure cooker is just a miracle in terms of eating a lectin-free diet. A pressure cooker will destroy all lectins except for gluten, and gluten is a lectin. But even an hour of pressure cooking has been shown not to destroy the gluten lectin, unfortunately. But it'll break all other lectins. In fact, I talk about in the book, there's even a bean company called Eden, E-D-E-N, and I have no relationship with them, that pressure cooks their beans because the lectins in beans are so mischievous, and most people, unfortunately, don't know that.
Wow.
Now, Dr. Gundry, you said cashews, and that really bothers me because I go down to Costco and buy these big jugs of cashews, and then I eat them.
Yep.
That's my snack. And I've always thought that that's a really healthy, good snack for me. Am I going to have to stop eating cashews? Because I can't really stick them in a pressure cooker and transform them and destroy the lectins because all the salt gets washed away. And that's really why I'm eating those cashews. So, I mean, I guess, you know, there are some foods you can transform.
So I want you to buy the salted pistachios at Costco instead. They're so much better for you. Believe it or not, cashews are part of the poison ivy family, and there's very good evidence. Yeah, they are. And the smart Amazonian Indians actually take the cashew nut, which is not a nut, it's a bean, and throw it away. They actually burn their hands eat the fruit, and I think they delight in sending us their toxin and laughing all the time. I have met so many people that cashews are the cause of their rheumatoid arthritis.
Wow.
We got cashews out of their diet, everything was fine.
I'm making my extremely sad face because I love cashews. But I do.
I used to love cashews.
I do like pistachios.
All this. Yeah, so pistachios are one of the best nuts in the world. They're loaded with polyphenols, which if you've listened to me or seen me on the internet, I'm a polyphenol nut.
Ooh, that's what you get in red wine, right? Polyphenols.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Anything with red wine, Lynn is an expert, quite honestly.
So,
good for you.
Yeah. So could we talk a little bit about an anti-inflammatory diet? You know, this has been sort of all the rage in recent years. And I'm wondering if a lectin-free diet is synonymous with an anti-inflammatory diet, or are there other things that make us inflamed in our body? And maybe we should also just, while we're at it, go into what's so bad about having an inflamed body? It seems obvious, but
inflammation inflammation is the root cause of actually everything that's happening to us, whether it's heart disease, the huge increase in Alzheimer's disease, the huge increase in arthritis, and autoimmune diseases. You know, probably 90 million Americans now have an autoimmune disease, most of whom don't even know they have it. And it's I'll tell you a story from the book, which is fascinating. One of the early adapters of my program, I call Tony. And Tony had vitiligo. Vitiligo is the loss of pigmentation in your skin.
Right.
Michael Jackson had it. So Tony adapted my diet, and he called me. He says, "You're not going to believe this. My vitiligo is gone." And I said, get in here. Let me look at this. And sure enough, he had horrible vitiligo on his hands and his face, and it completely cleared up. He says, "What do you think caused that?" And I said, "Well, gosh, you know, this is a very anti-inflammatory diet, but that's too easy. Let me think about this." Well, it turns out that the things that give our skin color are cells called melanocytes, and they are actually nerve cells. And lectins are used by plants to paralyze insects by attacking their nerves. So I surmised that what I was doing was taking lectins out of Tony's diet, and he was no longer attacking his melanocytes as if they were lectins, and it's called molecular mimicry. And it was really one of the early clues that lectins are really the cause of most of the things that people think are inflammation.
Wow. This is just getting more and more interesting. If you're just joining us, our guest is Dr. Stephen Gundry. He's the author of the 2017 book and bestseller, The Plant Paradox. Now he's back with The Plant Paradox Cookbook. It's 100 delicious recipes to help you lose weight, heal your gut, and live lectin-free. And we might talk just briefly about the the cover photo of the pizza, and it's made, the crust is made with cauliflower flour, which I had never heard of. I've heard of lots of different types of flours, not cauliflower.
I've had that.
Oh, you're so evolved.
Well, because I have friends who have done Dr. Gundry's diet.
Oh, okay.
You poor guy.
Actually, you know, I have to say it was, cauliflower flour is really good in different recipes, and cauliflower, which I never liked as a kid, has become one of my go-to, well, my friend's go-to staples.
Yeah, so the pizza on the cover was made by a very famous chef in Palm Springs who owns several restaurants. Who are my patients, and she wanted, they own an Italian restaurant and didn't want to kill people, so they made a cauliflower pizza crust that also uses Parmesan cheese, which is a safe casein A2 cheese, and it was a huge hit, and the people order it more than her regular crust, and so I asked her if we could adopt her recipe for, you know, general consumption, and I think we've done a really great job with it. So we've had a lot of James Beard award-winning chefs who have changed their lives by following the plant paradox, who've given us recipes. What I wanted to do with the cookbook is trying to make something that people will recognize the food, comfort food, like when it's the middle of winter in Park City, and you want something warm and a hearty stew, or you want pancakes or waffles. But these are, what I wanted to do is have foods that you love, but that will love you back. And that's the real key.
Well, that is the key, Dr. Gundry. And I have to tell you a little story that you can then, you know, expand upon. But I have two friends in this community who, a year ago, all I heard from them was the plant paradox and Dr. Gundry's new, you know, revelation about lectins, and they were completely bought in, and everything was cauliflower this and cauliflower that, and, you know, getting rid of the seeds, and then during the winter, each of them, you could call it, I guess, relapsed and went off of your protocol. Mm-hmm. And I think that is in part because they didn't have 100 delicious recipes in a cookbook that they could refer to. And I think, you know, for somebody who's not Italian and has not been stripping the peel off of the tomato and removing the seeds for generations, the protocol requires a pretty significant shift and change in the way that you prepare and deal with food. And I think your cookbook is complementary to your initial book in that it gives people 100 ways to do that that are fairly simple. Plus, reorganizing the pantry, which I heard was a big deal also. You know, these ingredients are not the sort of things you find in the normal pantry.
Correct. But you can absolutely find them in the grocery stores, for instance, in Park City. Used to have a condo in Deer Valley, and I got so busy with all this, I eventually had to get rid of it because I couldn't ski enough, and I miss it terribly. But you're right, people, particularly in the winter, up in, you know, Park City, you want comfort foods. But, I mean, for instance, I got a lemon poppy seed bundt cake recipe, which I actually have been munching on all week, and wow, is it good.
Sounds wonderful. Hey, I want to talk for a little bit about healing your gut. You know, that's another thing beyond inflammation that we know is sort of the source of all illness and disease. And what's other than getting rid of lectins, how do we, you know, help the healing of the gut along?
Several things. In both books, I talk about the seven deadly disruptors that have actually caused our gut to be leaky. And quite frankly, if you'd asked me if anybody had leaky gut 17 years ago when I started this, I would have probably laughed you out of the room. But I think that underlying all of our illnesses is leaky gut. So what's happened to us is we have killed off our normal microbiome, the friendly bugs that live in our gut, with broad-spectrum antibiotics. Not only do we swallow them, but our animals are fed them. And so these antibiotics, little did we know, were killing also the bacteria in our gut. The other thing that's happened is that most of our crops have been treated with Roundup, not just GMO crops. And the Roundup is fed to animals. It's in all of our flour. It's in all of our oatmeal. It's in all of our corn. And then our animals have Roundup in them, and our food has Roundup in them. And what we didn't know is that Roundup was also killing the bacteria in our gut. So we've really lost this incredible ecosystem within us. Now, what I think has made the plant paradox so popular is there are a lot of gut healing protocols. But let's suppose that we're out on a boat in the reservoir, and we have a hole or several holes in the bottom of our boat. Now, we could take a bucket, and we could start bailing water, and we hopefully stay afloat. But you have to keep bailing to stay afloat, and that's what most leaky gut protocols do. You bail water. What I think is easier is you plug the hole. And my discovery is that lectins are the cause of making those holes. That's actually what they're designed to do. A very famous professor at Johns Hopkins, Dr. Fasano, first described this, and I'm on a panel in a month with him, and he's an amazing discovery. But lectins' job is to make leaky gut. So to me, the first step is getting lectins out of your life, and also don't take broad-spectrum antibiotics. Don't eat animals that have been fed broad-spectrum antibiotics. And for goodness sake, stay away from Roundup. It's everywhere.
Yeah. Wow. This is all very good stuff. The book is The Plant Paradox Cookbook. And The Plant Paradox, you can also find, it was published last year. The cookbook has 100 delicious recipes to help you lose weight, heal your gut, and live lectin-free. And our guest is Dr. Stephen Gundry.
I have to add one thing.
Please do.
I have to say, after this interview, Dr. Gundry, Kathleen Barlow, and Daniel Bryant, I am a convert, and that's a problem because when I convert to something, I'm all in. Here we go. You're going to be hearing about the Gundry all protocol right now for a long time on this show.
Which, you know what
you
know what that means, Dr. Gundry, is next time you come back to Park City, you've got to come up to KPCW Studios, which you must know where it is, right in Old Town. And
right above the liquor store.
Yeah. I know exactly where you are.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. Oh, go ahead.
I'll be back, I promise. I'll be back, I promise. Yeah.
Yeah.
And get yourself the cookbook because it'll make living this way a whole lot easier.
Excellent. Yeah, now that you've got this lectin thing kicked and you've put out a couple books, it might maybe time to repurchase that Deer Valley condo.
Or at least come visit.
I'll come visit, I promise.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.